The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town.
All right, folks, we're back.
Like a
hour two of the National Intel Report. Usually let that song run out a little further, but we did that in the first hour, so continue. So, yeah, I was just talking about the history that Patrick ran through, some very important history. Patrick from Texas. Yeah, America was set up as a corporation eventually in 1871. He mentioned that. And then after that, in 1913, America was the Federal Reserve was set up. And essentially what that was you had these parasitic bankers that I just mentioned, Paul Warburg, Jacob Schiff being a couple of them, a bunch of others, Jews, that inserted themselves in between the United States people and our treasury. And they put a large consortium of international banks. That's what the Fed is. It's just a parasitic extraction, money, you know, extortion racket. And all it does is it prints the money for us, for the U.S. Treasury, and then it charges interest on that. And so that's why they set up the income tax in 1913 as well, so that they could tax us to pay the interest on money they print. When they loan that money, the money they print out of nothing, and then charge it for the interest, so they get paid on the interest for money they print out of nothing. See, this is and they don't answer to anybody. So there's no accountability from them. They don't answer. They hire. In fact, they're in charge of the whole, all of the politicians. So the politicians are nothing but lackeys and just doing their bidding for them. They're the employees. So just think about that for a second. So usury, that's a word. So this was a Jewish takeover of America. They established the Federal Reserve. They established the income tax to pay the debt pay the interest on the Federal Reserve. And then they also set up the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League. Oh, okay. Yeah, so you can't criticize them for what they're doing as well. So go figure. And then what happens? World War I and World War II? No, those weren't started by the Jews too. Those were started by Hitler, of course. Hitler was the one at fault for that. How dare he try to defend his country, Germany, against the international Jewish satanic cabal of criminals. Why aren't we speaking out more outrageously about this sick, vile situation that our world suffers under now? All right. Enough of my rant. I forgot. We got some callers here, and you guys are stacking up. All right. Andrea, thank you for waiting. Andrea in Oklahoma, thank you for waiting. What's on your mind?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I mainly called because of the bank, the Silicon Bank. But I also, since you've, you know, brought it full circle here on Israel, Jesus, John 8:44, indicates that he is talking to Israel, the Israeli people. He goes, why is it you can't hear me? Because you're the children of Satan. And it goes into that. So everybody needs to read that. I mean, Jesus didn't say a whole lot, but that is recorded in the Bible. And so it hasn't just happened. It's been all the way back, and Jesus experienced it, and they put it in John 8:44. So, okay, on Rumble.
So wait, one second, Andrea. Let me just add to what you said there, okay? I'll just make a couple of small corrections. It wasn't the, so Jesus, what he said in that quote, John 8:44, was you are of, he's talking to the Pharisees. Now, these Pharisees were out of the Babylon, you know, they had been captive in Babylon 600 years prior to this. So they came out of the Babylon with writing the Babylonian Talmud. They were operating under Talmudic law already at that time. They were following, you know, these just kind of stupid, disgusting laws that had nothing to do with God. So they weren't really Israelites. The Israelites were the Christians that, you know, became Christians and followed Christ. It's just the one distinction there. These were, you know, Talmudic following Pharisee, you know, they to become Jews later on. But anyway, so, yeah, it was you are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. I'm just reading that off because I've read this quote so many times. It's so important. I'm so glad you brought it up. He was a murderer from the beginning. And then there was a little more to it, too, after that. But there is no truth in him because the truth does not live in him. Something to that effect. So, yeah, so go on. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm not sure that I tried to send this out to everybody. It was on RBN. It's on Rumble. It's a warning from history. It's on the murder of JFK. It's put out by Corey Hughes. He's an ex-policeman, ex-private investigator, and found he wanted to know the answers to this. And it's a seven-hour documentary, but every minute of it is so important. He breaks everything down, and it's there's nine shooters, and they're all Israelis. And supposedly it started with Kennedy not wanting anybody, any countries, to build nuclear bombs, and they were insistent they had to have them. Well, we all know that they have them now. They have them in Dimona, 200 to 400 nuclear bombs may be scattered around Israel, but it was also to take all of the Arab countries over. That is their intent, and that's their goal. Not only that, on 9/11, of course, all these X-ray machines, when you go through the airport, that was created by a Jewish person, and they're there because of the underwear bomber, but before that, on 9/11, they were trying to track $3 billion that went missing out of the Pentagon, and how elaborate it was that, you know, the three dancing Jews and then all these vans, and one was still full with bombs that the police stopped in Lincoln Tunnel. But there were a lot of vans that were empty. And they did have traces of, I guess, bombs leave some kind of trace behind. But anyhow, I think, you know, from how elaborate what they went through to kill JFK, which the CIA owned that school depository building, where they were printing out books for what we, the people, all of us have used to learn history there in Dallas. Oswald never entered that building, never went in there ever. And they had, I think, three lookalikes of him that were traveling around. I endorse it. It is definitely worth every minute. Bring your whole family. Sit down and watch it. But this that you just read about how it was so important for this $3 billion out of the Silicon Valley Bank, that they were in there before it was seized. Now, how in the heck did they do that? How did they find out? How did they get that information and they know it was going down so they could get their money and nobody else could? And then you said there was another bank it went down just the same way?
No, I was talking about Silicon Valley Bank, and they mentioned a $1 billion.
Okay, just $1 billion, but that's still a lot. I mean, I would like to have that in my account. It's just $1 billion. I would love to have $1 billion. So anyhow, how did they know that information, and how did they know it was going down? It was going to be seized.
Exactly.
And the other thing is, just this is a little old because they've replenished our Congress and House. That this was 89% of our senators in Congress hold dual citizenships with Israel. Now, anybody out of Israel that just decided
problem.
To come over here and be U.S. I mean, I guess, you know, being in the Senate and the House has a lot of perks, and I'm sure there's a lot of movement of cashola under the table, and you find out things that might benefit Israel, and it just feels like, yeah, when you say parasites on this nation, they're sucking it dry.
They're sucking it dry, that's correct. They've already sucked it dry, and now they're going on fake stuff. Yeah. They've sucked it dry, and now it's all everything's fake. I mean, we're $32 trillion, $31 trillion in debt. I can't even the money system is completely meaningless. It's all propped up by war and propaganda and fear and intimidation and attacking, you know, like the Nord Stream pipeline, announcing that they're going to do it. And then, like Biden did, destroying other people's ability to make alliances with other countries, like Germany with Russia. They're looking like it was going to keep the dollar propped up as the world currency. So it's just, you know, it's America runs on absolute criminality to the greatest degree you could ever possibly imagine, to the 15th power. Okay, so yeah. Well, Andrea, listen, I got to get some other callers, and I really appreciate your input. Thanks again. All right. We got Kelly in Georgia. Kelly, thank you so much for waiting. What's on your mind?
Hey, William. I don't think I've talked to you before, and I just wanted to say I've really enjoyed your contribution to the network, and you've made a great addition to everything. So thank you for that, and congratulations on your new show.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Kelly.
Sure. I was calling about the issue going on in Atlanta. I've lived in Metro Atlanta my whole life. And I think really, and as I was listening to you speak while I was on hold, I've realized you probably know this already, but both sides are fighting for the same Jewish cabal and being controlled by the same operatives, and they probably don't realize it. And, you know, because these law enforcement officers that will be trained at this facility will be enforcing all this legislation that they're putting through, including this anti-free speech stuff that's come out. And so it's, you know, they're all just like the thing going on in Russia and Ukraine. They're every conflict, I feel, for as far back as I can remember, going back to the War of Northern Aggression, they all have been controlled by the same force. And it's just another way of keeping us fussing and fighting. You know, it's just part of their same game.
So. Absolutely. Yep, it's the Hegelian dialectic. It's you know, and it's hard to escape from it. It's hard to even, you know it. You know it's, but you still go vote and you still think, oh, maybe if I vote for the one I lean more towards, it's going to make a difference. You still kind of hope it will. So it's a powerful dialectic, but it's such nonsense. And you mentioned down what's happening in Georgia. There's legislation, anti-free speech legislation, in Georgia and Florida. And I don't remember which state, what's his name? Oh, this Jew, a House rep. I forgot his name. Randy Fine, I think. Yeah, Randy Fine. I don't know, Mike, if you can dig up a clip of Randy Fine. I don't, of him. You know, the audacity of these Jews that think that they get to, you just determine what speech we get to have. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to shut up. I'm going to get louder. And this pisses me off to be, I can't even, like, who do these people think they are? You're trying to stop the world from figuring out what crimes you're committing. And so, shut my window. And so, you know, look, you're no different. You're no different than a criminal framing other people for your crimes. You're trying to stop the world from figuring it out. And you're putting this legislation and speaking with all this indignation. I really wish if I had a clip of this Randy Fine. I'm going to try to dig one up so we can play to listen to the disgusting audacity of these Jews, what they're doing. And we should be speaking out against them with this, just this, you know, indignation. Don't be trepidatious about it. Anyway, go ahead. Okay, so go ahead.
Well, I just one other completely unrelated topic, but something you've talked about before and that really is close to my heart is the whole music thing and just the Jewish infiltration and the satanic influence into music, you know, stuff that I grew up listening to, used to follow the Grateful Dead, got into that whole thing, and now I feel like all of it was just a big, huge psyop. And not only was it a psyop, but they were casting a spell on people, and Jimmy Page was doing it up on stage when he was playing with Led Zeppelin, you know. So it's just, anyway, when you talk about that stuff, I love it. And I hope you'll do more of that, some deeper dives into those things on your future shows.
Absolutely, Kelly. Yeah, that was a few months ago. We were talking about the Tavistock Institute and how the Tavistock Institute produced the Beatles. And, you know, you got Aleister Crowley and you had other, you know, like Black Sabbath and Ozzy Osbourne. And you had Jimmy Page, who lives in Aleister Crowley's old house. And, you know, all these things tying into these institutes, you know, like Tavistock is the one in England. And then there were some others as well. So there's proof drawing back to this. There's a book called The Tavistock Institute. I got it. I forgot. I've got so many books that I got and I can have time to read them all. And then I get more books. But it's nice to have the books, though. Well, thank you, Kelly. I really appreciate the call. All right,
have a good one. Thanks.
You too.
Bye.
All right, we got Henry in Connecticut. Henry, welcome to the show. We got like 3 minutes before the break.
Hi. By the way, it's interesting with your show. I have to say this. I do have to say this. Because I'm from a thing in plain sight, you know, one of the regular callers here and there.
I'm on that show on Thursdays, by the way.
Oh, you're on Thursdays when now?
Yeah, I am with Jeremy on Thursday nights, with him on Thursday nights on In Plain Sight. It's one of my favorite shows to do. And then I'm actually doing Friday nights, just me now. So he's giving me Friday nights.
What time?
Same time. 9 Central.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, anyway, I have to say, I do find some of your comments kind of entertaining, like at the end there, and you say so-and-so and so, and then we stopped Hitler, and, well, we did this because of these parasites. And all. I mean, some of that stuff you're saying is funny. But here's the thing, and this is very, very important, and I think even Professor Duke would know this, okay? You need to see, what you're saying is off or wrong. First of all, let me get to the Federal Reserve thing before the break comes and you hold me over. First of all, that crap that, you said we have so many trillions of dollars in debt, about as much money as what the Rothschilds own, right? It's more than that, actually, than what the Rothschilds own, but that debt that we have. First of all, that's a fake, phony, fake, fraudulent debt, because under the Constitution, it is not that S, it ends with a T, but I got to be careful what I say on the air. That stuff is not money to begin with. You even said it when you said printing it out. It's not money. Actually, this country is not running on money. All right, I'll hold, but.
Yeah, hold over.
Okay,
hold over, Henry, and we'll be back after the break, folks.
No reason to get excited. Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
I say all or nothing for Ukraine. I'm Peter Serafin with this week's Liberty Minute, brought to you by Right to Bear Insurance. If you own a firearm, you need to use code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com just in case you ever need to use your firearm. The war in Ukraine started 1 year and 2 days ago. Let's reflect a little. The U.S. wasn't going to send tanks because that would cause World War III. Now we are sending tanks, but they're not going to get there for over a year. So the U.S. federal government intends to send money and other support for at least another year. Over $113 billion U.S. dollars have already been sent to the Ukraine. That's over $900 per taxpayer. How much of that money and how many lives have been lost because of our gradual support? We should have either been all in with everything that Ukraine needs from day one, or we should have stayed out entirely. Russia is famous for winning wars of attrition. Thousands or millions more will die. Western support needs to be aimed at winning or just give up. All or nothing. Either way, it will be cheaper financially and cost far fewer lives. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time. See this Pashem Parabellum.
Some say life will beat you down and break your heart, steal your crown. So it started out for God knows where. I guess I'll know when I get there.
Alright, welcome back to the show. I love that song, Learning to Fly. Not my playlist, but I love that song. That's a good song. Alright, so Henry, you were saying, so you mentioned some stuff. There's a couple things I wanted to, what did you mean when you said, before we go on further, you said that's funny or outlandish or something when I said we stopped Hitler? Or that
you said that something happened with this. I forgot. I don't remember verbatim. And then you said, and then we have to stop Hitler. And because we have these parasites in the country and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I was going to say something with Hitler, too. Here's the thing, which I think is very important. Now, this film about the name, it used to be on YouTube just about a year ago. It's a very, very good film. It's long, but it's very good. It's called, but they removed it because they claimed it was something with hate. It had nothing to do with hate, okay? And also, they don't say that the Holocaust didn't happen. That's not what they say, but they, it goes involves with the Holocaust, the so-called Jewish Holocaust. But at the, you know, in the end of it, it goes into stuff about Hitler that a lot of people don't know, that me even being German descent, I found out later and know about. And they have people who research this. Now, it's called 6 Million Lies, okay? But it's spelt this way. It's like 6.000.000 and then lies, L-I-E-S. And it's on BitChute. There's about three different, not three different ones, but three different pages that are putting the film on BitChute, where one or two of them cut the end of it. And I think that's very important because that goes into Hitler when he, you know, the stuff with Germany and he went, got how he got out and got to Spain with the U-boat or with the plane and then went to Argentina. And I think it's people, very important people know that. Also, you can go to a place like Shark Hunters, which is connected with Jeff Rentz, a guy named Harry Cooper, who was Shark Hunters, and he had proven that there's evidence that Hitler went to Argentina. Now, in that hotel was nice down there, too, that one with the acorns, had acorns. But anyway, I won't get into that. But the thing is this about Hitler, which people don't know, and I found out later, he really was, you know, it's like at the capstone, you have the pyramid, you have the capstone. And as long as the capstone is a certain way, like the Rothschilds control the capstone, they control the pyramid. Even the rest of the people, and the rest of the, even the second level of the pyramid don't know it. And that would include, you know, Goering and Himmler and Goebbels and Hess. But Hitler was a Rothschild, and he was working with the Zionists.
No, he was not.
Well, Eustace Mullins did some research. He said there was like...
Eustace Mullins was wrong about it. That was the one thing Eustace Mullins was wrong about. I love Eustace Mullins and his work. But
let me ask this. But why would he do the thing he did with Russia? Because some of that advanced weaponry, if you really want to win that war, he could have won it. Okay? And that thing in Russia caused... Well, first of all, I wouldn't want to fight the Russians anyway. That's what they want to do now.
You're talking about Operation Barbarossa?
Yeah, that's right.
Why did they wait until winter and get mired in the war during the winter time? Why didn't they march in a little earlier?
Right. Well, part of it, okay. I know, is because he's fighting Serbia. I know. He lost two SS divisions in Serbia and Yugoslavia.
We also had to go and bail out Mussolini, too. Because Mussolini overzealous, and he went into Greece.
Ethiopia. Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. He wanted to reestablish the old Holy Roman Empire. And and he got in a mess, and Hitler and the Germans had to they had to reroute the troops that were heading over for Operation Barbarossa down to bail him out. And it was a liability for them. That really was unfortunate. And it led to the tide turning against the Germans in the war in 1942, 1943. Very unfortunate. Right. And then the Germans ended up getting caught up. So in hindsight, you know, we can look at that and go, is it Rothschild because he botched that up? Or you could say Dunkirk, he botched up Dunkirk.
I
think what he did at Dunkirk, I'll just say, I know maybe you're not making the argument that that Dunkirk was a Rothschild thing, but I agree with Mike King's assessment on it.
What about him working with the funeral of Kurt Eisner in Barbaria? I actually saw it. You'll see it.
Yeah, that's what's his name. That's what's his name. The guy. He tries to make that argument too. But let's catch it on the way back. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
Stick around. Stick over for a break. We'll be right back, folks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay. All right, we're back. We're back, and I got Henry in Connecticut. We're having a very interesting discussion. So, Henry, you mentioned the Hitler. You're saying Hitler was a Rothschild, and I'm refuting that. You brought up the funeral that Hitler attended for Kurt Eisner in Bavaria. This funeral, this is Christopher John Bjerknes, Adolf Hitler, Bolshevik and Zionist book. And this book is just straw man argument after straw man argument. I have to go back into it again, but I've heard that book picked apart, every argument that's made in there. I really think that with all due respect for whatever other great work that Christopher John Bjerknes did, this was just a real, like, what are you talking about? Because
right, what about the actual fact that I saw in the movie? I actually saw the film and saw that was him. So
what film?
That's what I'm talking about. There's a film, all right, in 6 Million Lives, you'll see it near the end of it, and this movie does exist. It's a very good movie, by the way. I like the music and so forth, but also, you will see that is Hitler marching in a funeral. Like the guy you're saying wrote the book.
No doubt. No doubt. You know what? I don't need to make up lies. It's a blurry picture. Yeah, it's a blurry picture, but it doesn't matter. Hitler wasn't
blurry. It's an actual film. It wasn't like a photo.
Okay.
I actually saw the whole film.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is long before, this is in the early 20s. This is after World War One. Right. He was still constricted.
Right. In a very, very bad way.
Let me finish.
Okay,
let me finish, Henry. So Hitler was still constricted under the military command that he had higher ups. So he didn't have a choice if he was going to go to this funeral or not. So, it's not like I'm loyal to, this was when the military was transition. Well, there wasn't any clear government that was there weren't clear lines drawn between the people that were communists and the people who were socialists. And anyway, it's a little bit complicated on that. But the main point is that what I said about Hitler was conscripted. He wasn't acting out of his own accord in that situation there. So I just see that as a real straw man argument. Oh yeah, he marched in the funeral, so therefore he was a Rothschild agent, And I want to finish my point on Dunkirk too, because Hitler was a humanitarian. If you know his overall way, he was a vegetarian. He loved animals. He actually had a real powerful way with animals that they would, like, birds would fly and land on his shoulder. Deer would come up to him and eat from his hand, or just touch his hand, whatever. And he had dogs, and he was he was the opposite of what they say that he was. And so that said, in Dunkirk, when he let the he saw Britain. He did not. He had made multiple peace attempts with Britain over and over, also with Poland too. Multiple attempts at peace before ever going into Poland to help save the German people from the Polish Bolsheviks, the Jewish Bolsheviks that were killing Germans by the thousands there. But let me finish on Dunkirk. So at Dunkirk, they let him go. All the 250,000 soldiers on the shores of Dunkirk that were British, instead of just killing and slaughtering them all like some kind of psychopathic war pig like Winston Churchill, Hitler let him go. It was a peace overture. And people like to say it was a strategic mistake. His general, I forgot the name, was frustrated with him for it. But this was the kind of man he was. So people want to they try to take that and twist that into, oh, it was a Rothschild agent. It doesn't make sense. I just haven't heard any cogent arguments for that yet. But I'll go and watch the 6 Million Lies because I'd like to hear the – what's that?
May have been trying to appease Churchill because I know Churchill. By the way, Churchill definitely was a Zionist, but he was trying to appease.
Churchill was a full-on Zionist.
Yeah, well, warmonger. No, I know that. I know that. I was telling this to somebody else. They all wanted some piece of that. Stalin, Hitler, Churchill, Roosevelt, and I said definitely Churchill, Roosevelt. If you don't believe me, like I admitted in some research, because that guy was a mess. I'm talking about Churchill, and the thing of it is too is that like I said, there's other things in that film too. Though they show actual newspaper articles, not with Hitler, but with this alliance between the Heckenkreuz alliance and the Zionists. Now, if that stuff is not true, then why, which had nothing to do with Eustace Mullins, though, at all. He, there's a small cut with Eustace Mullins near the end there, where he started. But this is long before him. It had nothing to do with his books or anything. They don't even show his books there. In the film, in other words. And I see all this evidence myself where I'm seeing coins and medallions with a swastika. And also, there's another picture. These Zionist Jews having a ritual in Joseph Goebbels' house. In Joseph Goebbels' villa, and I could see that they show you clearly in the film that this is the Joseph Goebbels' villa, and which windows in it. And I could clearly, and the symbol I see is not like a what you call a Star of David, by the way. It's really a star, a symbol, of Star of Saturn, or a seal of Saturn. But it wasn't that symbol. It was the symbol I saw was against that dark blue cloth, that's plush. Was that Zionist Party, International Zionist thing. It looks like, how can I say it? I guess there's this very tall guy who's in Germany, is tied in with Merkel, who he runs this international big Zionist party. Actually, that's the same thing back then. which is tied in also with the International Jewish Congress. Right? I mean, if you're talking about something Jewish power, if I were running this country and I were president, there's a couple of things I would do. One, I wouldn't allow dual citizenship for certain positions in the government. If you're going to be with the NSA, the FBI, as far as leading it, the CIA at all, even an agent, and the Department of Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State, a U.S. Congressman, a U.S. Senator, Supreme Court, you cannot have dual citizenship. And that would include Israel. I would not allow that. I don't know what country it does. You know, you can't do that in the Netherlands. In the Netherlands, I know it was run by Beatrix, and that's a fake monarch that's tied in with Rothschild. But the point is, you know, there's some things I would change. Talk about Trump. There's some things I would definitely change if I were president. And you talk about all this Israeli power. Well, that's one thing. I would not allow dual citizenship for some of these people who have citizenship in Israel and probably more loyal to Israel than they are America, and serving in our powerful positions of government. That's crazy.
Absolutely. That's really crazy. It's absolutely correct.
Absolutely.
They have more. They're outspokenly that they have more alliance to Israel. Outspokenly. Chuck Schumer is a good example.
Yeah, listen to that.
And that's on both sides, you know.
I'd have to file as an agent. It wouldn't, you know, you have to file as a foreign agent, and I would do that.
That's what happened to John F. Kennedy. He asked American Zionist Congress
to file. He got killed because he called Israel.
Hold on, wait. Let me get a word in here.
John
F. Kennedy, one of the reasons they killed him is that he demanded that the American Zionist Congress or the World Zionist Congress, I forgot which one, file as a foreign agent. And that was, oh no. The Jews couldn't have that. And definitely he was interfering with their ability to get military secrets and to steal our military secrets as well. None of that.
That's right.
Yeah. And he wasn't really on board with the Vietnam War either, what I understand.
Let me just
interject. So you're mentioning you're mentioning the alliance between the National Socialist Party and the the International Zionists. I don't deny that there was an alliance to do that, to get the Jews out of Germany and into to get them out of Germany specifically, and then get them down into Palestine. So
that's
Palestine
right.
has been taken over. Already after World War One, by Britain, who got coaxed into doing that because they were told that America, that the Jews told them that, so that because they would get America into the war on their side, World War One, and they would be able to defeat Germany, and that's exactly what happened. There was a stalemate in World War One. So yes, there was an agreement. It's called the Transfer Agreement or the Havara Agreement between the Zionist International Jews and Germany. To get the Jews out of Germany, because they wanted to get them out.
Because you have to populate to make Israel. But see, so what people go around saying.
So there's probably going to be some coins made or whatever. People are going to celebrate and have ceremonies and that kind of thing. And there's going to be meetings between officials and public officials. And then they're going to say, later on, look, Joseph Goebbels met with Stephen Wise and these rabbis over here. Or whoever they were, you know, Henry Morgenthau and whoever Jews. These are strategic. It's kind of like also when they try to say with Hitler and the Ribbentrop. There was what was the agreement between Hitler and Stalin? That was the I forgot the name.
The Warsaw Non-Aggression Pact, I think.
Yeah. The Non-Aggression Pact. And Ribbentrop was the the Molotov Ribbentrop pact, and the Ribbentrop was the I'm throwing the names out there. I'm not confident.
Why didn't they
anyway, it was a pact between them, and people use that as like that also as like, oh, Hitler, you know, these were strategic, you know, agreements that were made between, you know, countries So it doesn't mean that they're allies or that they're in bed with each other. It just means that people are trying to, make strategic calculations in order to prevent something else from taking place. That makes sense. So still, that argument about the transfer agreement doesn't apply to me either.
Say again? But no, I think with the Zionists, though, it was a little more than that. He wouldn't go too much with Stalin since he was a communist, and they were anti-communist. But just like the thing you're saying with the thing with the Ukraine, you've got the leaders, if they're more open about it, you have a Jewish regime in the Ukraine that openly didn't know was Jewish. They want the Ukrainian people, even boys, to go fight in the Russians and get killed. And at the same time, that so-called Azog or whatever, Nazi so-called, which is a fake battalion. It's a fake Nazi battalion. But Putin doesn't know any better, right? And then the smartest Putin, brilliantest Putin is.
Doesn't know any better about what?
They're doing stuff to the only Ukrainian citizens, also, who are Christian. And the fact is that was very, very little different than the real, not sanitizing the real Nazis either, but the real Nazis during the war, it was different then. I saw the films where they were cheering them on when they came in because of the communism, and they had, I think there was a Russian SS division. Now, I may be wrong, but I think there was later on. But I'll go because you have other callers. But anyway, great show, and I'll be listening. And again, that film
thank
is
you, Henry.
6 million lives.
I appreciate it.
6 million lives on BitChute. It's BitChute.com. You can search the bit. Okay.
6 million lives. I'm going to check it out because I want to hear all the arguments, and I haven't seen this yet. So thanks again, Henry, for the call. And all right. So, lost my train of thought. But anyway, I'm going to move on now to Randy Fine. So Mike, he dug up some clips from Randy Fine, and we're talking about this hate speech stuff. Got a couple of clips from Fine on the hate speech stuff. Sounds like, oddly enough, Fine himself was accused of hate speech in 2019 for some comments to another Jew where Fine was hating on Palestinians and Muslims. that's interesting. I mean, because Palestinians are definitely victims of Jews. Muslims are more like the people that Jews use to destroy Christianity. Like, I guess their weapon, whatever you call it, like they're flooding Muslims into Europe and culture clash. And that's a deliberate thing that Jews admit openly. I will get those clips actually of these Jews talking about this. This is their operation. It is a Jewish operation. So you just figure that the Muslims in Europe is a Jewish operation. So, you know, it's important to know that, so that you're not just attacking the symptom of the problem, so that you're recognizing what the source of the problem is. So, let me see. All right. So, Mike, why don't we roll this clip of Randy Fine, the House rep in Florida, who is trying to criminalize speech in Florida. This guy rubs me right under the – just absolutely gets under my skin. If you got it ready, Mike, otherwise I can just
– Representative Caruso talked about the bill that we passed in 2019 that I signed with the governor signed with me, I guess, in Israel. The most aggressive anti-Semitism bill ever passed in the United States that dealt in our pre-K through 20 system. Well, the good news is if you look at the dramatic rise in anti-Semitism over the last 6 months – we haven't seen it in the areas where we addressed it in that bill. We have had some issues on college campuses, but they are not from students. They are not from faculty. They are not from members of the university community. Why? Because we said the consequences would be severe. So you can see that when we take legislative action, it can work because we've seen it work over the last 4 years. So I'm very confident we're going to get this bill done. I'm very confident we will get it passed. I'm very confident we will get it signed, and we will once again make sure that every Jew who lives in the state of Florida knows that they are safe, that they are secure, and that they can wear one of these, and they don't have to worry about what's going to happen to them.
In the past few weeks alone, there's been anti-Semitic messages projected on an Orlando building, propaganda found in a local neighborhood, and graffiti at Dr. Phillips High. Now, several House lawmakers have filed a bill that would make these acts third-degree felonies, defining them as hate crimes.
While you have a right to free speech, when your speech enters conduct that is illegal, littering, violence, trespassing, graffiti, we're going to hold you accountable.
The bill spells out examples.
That's good. Stop. Okay, good enough. So you hear it there. I believe in free speech. I just don't believe in hate speech. Well, I believe in physics. I just don't believe in gravity. It's pretty incredible. This guy gets up there and speaks with pomposity and audacity, like pum 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 pum. We're gonna destroy anti-Semitism. We're coming for anti-Semitism. We're with so much conviction, everything behind us, all our money, and you will not be allowed to speak anymore because we've been successful with it in the last 4 years. And you goyim, you cattle slave goyim, can't say anything bad about us anymore. And we're going to come out after you, and we're going to prosecute you and throw you in prison because you said something about the Jews, because you spoke out and you said something we Jews didn't like. So that's a big no-no, Goyim. You can't say what we don't like. How do you like that, folks? You got these Jews making laws telling you what you can say, what you can't say. If you want to be a real social justice warrior and speak out and talk about the atrocities that this Jewish establishment is committing against the world, and you're going to get thrown in jail because these Jews that run our Congress, these Jewish parasites, like this Randy Fine guy, are going to call what I'm saying hate speech. I'm simply pointing out with the indignation of God himself what these demonic parasites are doing to the world. And they want you to shut up and let them keep doing it. So are you going to shut up and let them keep doing it? Because they're making laws that say that you can't speak out? Oh, Lloyd littering is going to be a third degree felony. Spray painting a building is a third degree felony. Now, because you said something about the Jews. They're the only group you can't criticize. Everybody else is open season. It really pisses me off. And it should piss you off too. So, okay. Thank you, Mike. Mike has just come in and rescued me so I don't keep, talking here. Let me read this story. Not that I don't keep talking. He just gave me this guy's a disgusting pig. All right, Randy Fine's online rhetoric. Let's see. I'm going to read it. I know nothing about this article, Mike, but let me get rid of the ad. Representative Randy Fine's online rhetoric has escalated to hate speech opinion. Okay, this is from, April 15th, 2019. Okay. Okay. Years ago, it was not uncommon to see someone standing on a street corner warning of the end of the world, or that someone was a communist, or perhaps something really hateful about race or religion. They were generally isolated, not accepted, or respected in their community, but they did have a First Amendment right to speak. Most of us laughed at them. Today, thanks to the internet, and especially social media, we are bombarded with more bizarre and often hateful messages than ever before. Sadly, shockingly, this hate speech sometimes comes from our elected leaders. It's no laughing matter. Some politicians have lifted hate and intolerance to a sickening art form. Sadly, our local elected leaders have also fallen into the same trap that cheapens our public discourse and sharpens our partisan divide. I must condemn Florida State Rep. Randy Fine for publicly attacking a member of the Space Coast Progressive Alliance board on Facebook with an anti-Jewish slur. Now, isn't this ironic? No, wait a minute. So Randy Fine, he did an he's a Jew himself. So you got somebody coming after him for hate speech. Okay, fine. Which is clearly hate speech. Fine, who's Jewish, called the board member, who's also Jewish, by a term used to describe Jewish Nazi collaborators. By the way, this word Nazi is a racial epithet lurched at Germans, and it should be illegal, actually. If they're going to make it illegal to criticize Jews, it should be illegal to use the word Nazi when referring to Germans. It should be illegal to use that disgusting word Nazi to call someone... I don't agree with making laws like that. But if you're going to make it illegal to criticize Jews, well, then you're going to have to make it illegal to criticize Germans, too. And we're going to have to start talking about what really happened in World War II. The Jewish committed the Holocaust that was committed against the German people by the Jewish establishment. Dropping bombs on innocent Dresden with nothing but gingerbread town, with nothing but women and children and old people, turning them into... They turned them into soap, into their own basements, and they liquefied people. The Jewish-controlled Royal Air Force and the United States Air Force, just with bombing campaigns that went over and over and over in the night on February 13th, 1945, turned Dresden, it just leveled it, and burned hundreds of thousands of Germans to death. This is what a Holocaust definition is. A burning, a burnt offering. If that is not a Holocaust, well, then there's no definition of Holocaust. Then the word doesn't exist. But that's what happened. So I don't deny the Holocaust at all that happened to the Germans. Not one bit. Fine is our elected representative and theoretically speaks for the better interests of our community. He has embarrassed his family name and all of us by directly slandering one of his constituents. Okay. Anyway, I don't know. I mean, okay. Let me see. Mike made a comment here. I wanted to see what he said. All right. 2 minutes to close. Okay. Oh, he called the guy a Juden rat. Really? Are you serious? Okay. Well, folks, we've got 2 minutes. I'm going to wrap it up. I want to let you know that I'm going to be on tomorrow with Jeremy. I'm on with him every Thursday night on In Plain Sight. And then on Friday, I got my own show at the same time that Jeremy gave me, 9 Central. Hope to see you guys there. And I hope you guys have a wonderful evening. Stick around for the next show there, Bennett. And we'll see you guys later. Bye-bye. We must take America back. We need prayer in the schools and more things made in USA. It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. We must take America.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.